I shouldn't say everybody and their dog. People who are Christians, especially Christians for a while, they know to say things like, we want to do what God wants us to do. I just want to know the will of God so that I can do it. That's just what I want. And that's good. That's a lot better than saying, I don't care what God wants. But you know what? Saying I want what God wants and doing what that means are two different things. And just the saying isn't enough. I want us to be people who, as in Colossians it says, they are each one of us standing fully assured and blameless in all that is the will of God. Did you know that you're not just some insignificant cog in this grand universal machine and you don't matter very much? That's not true. That is not true. You are significant to God. You have an important part to play in what He wants to do. Your life has a purpose that goes beyond just what you're able to perceive right now. And God wants you to fulfill it. He doesn't want you to be a person who ends your time on the earth and you didn't get done what you needed to get done. And I don't mean in terms of your retirement plans or something like that. I mean there is a purpose that God made you for that He wants to accomplish. And part of the rest of our jobs is to help you accomplish it. Now, what you've been given to accomplish, of course, involves the rest of us. What I've been given to accomplish involves you. There's no question about that. But I don't want you to think what you do isn't important. It's vital. That's how God thinks about things, right? He loves us. He doesn't dismiss us. You matter to the purpose of God. And our job, the rest of our job, is to help you do what you are on the earth to do, right? There is a will that God has for you that needs to be accomplished. It doesn't have to be accomplished. We have the right to say, forget it. I ain't following you. But we're allowed to accomplish it. We're granted the permission and the freedom and the privilege of accomplishing it. God has wonderful things in store for you. You don't have to have it, but it's there. It's there. So we want to follow God's way. You know, the fact that God has all these wonderful things in store for people doesn't mean that they meet with it. Because there is a way in which things work out. And so that's why I've been talking about the need to embrace God's way. It's not just that He has to force us into doing what He wants us to do, and He won't. There is a need on our part to go beyond saying nice things about the will of God to the place where I embrace it. This is what my life is about. God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven in me. You know, scripturally speaking, you are a piece of earth, right? God, in the beginning, He formed man by taking the dust of the earth, and He formed them, and He breathed into them, right? So when we pray, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, of course it means the geographical place called earth, but it also means in you. God wants His will to be done in you. Why? I've entitled this message, Submission Saves. What is God's agenda about you? As I said, you are important. You matter to God. Don't be fooled by the scale of the responsibility you've been given. What you have on your plate right now is just what God requires you to be faithful with now so that you're ready for more. Don't be fooled by the scale of what you have if it seems too small. You matter to God. You matter to God. But in this larger idea of what His agenda is, concerning you, at the top of that agenda, is to save you. Yes, there are things He wants to do through you. There's no question, okay? I don't mean to imply you're the whole point of everything God has ever done. You're not. I'm not. But as He considers, there's no one like God who can put together, you know, plans that involve the entire of humanity with plans that concern you. And in each case, wisely work them all together. There are things that God wants to do on the earth to help other people through you, but He wants to help you. How He will do things on the earth is through saving you. right? So God's agenda involves helping you, saving you. When we talk about that word save, you know, the picture that is painted in the Bible about that word salvation, save or savior, is a lot fuller than, okay, you're not going to go to hell anymore. Okay? That's just one part of this salvation. And in fact, let me put it this way. I have to be careful. Please take this with care. It's not even the most important part of God's salvation. Yes, you're going to heaven. Amen. Wonderful. Hallelujah. It means that you were forgiven. But the bigger thing is, because of what has happened, you can go to heaven. But because of what has happened, so much more is now ready to flow onto the earth in you and through you. So we do have circumstances, right? Each one of us have circumstances that are messed up. Some are good, some are not good. Relationships that are messed up, some are good, some are not good. We live, we exist, we are. We have all that it means to be human beings on the earth. And God wants salvation to come and affect every aspect of that. Right? So, for example, one aspect of it is that we have a physical body, right? This physical body works in a certain way, and if you don't take care of it, things happen that don't help you, right? So there is a need to think about how to take care of our bodies and all that. But there is a provision in salvation. That word salvation includes healing. And when I say includes, I'm not talking about some doctrinal thing. That word save sometimes is translated heal. That's how tightly salvation and healing are related. Healing is not some extra thing that God does. It is at the very core of what it means to be saved. You can choose many different passages to illustrate it. For example, in Isaiah 53, which talks about how God was going to do it. He was going to send his servant. He was going to crush his servant so that we could live. Tied up in that is, by his stripes, you were healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. But by his stripes, not only were you forgiven, you were healed. You cannot separate this idea of fullness, wholeness. I want every part of what it means to be you to be full, to have nothing lacking, nothing missing. You look at what is going on in your life and say, what a great God I have because of what he's doing. This is the picture that's involved with salvation. That's what's on God's agenda concerning you. You know, so tomorrow morning you wake up, you had a bad night, but God's agenda hasn't changed. Right? One day you have something fabulous happen to you, the next day the rug is pulled out underneath your feet. God's agenda hasn't changed. His agenda hasn't changed. He has just one thing on his mind concerning you. I want to save her. I want to save him. I want him to be full. We do so, not we, I do so poorly expressing how good God is. You can point it yourself. My point is we just lack, like, you know, I'm not an English major by any means. I'm not a poet. You sometimes read things that Shakespeare wrote and you think, my goodness, how wonderfully something can be expressed. You know, constant as the North Star to describe somebody who's faithful, loyal, fabulous. I'm not that. But even Shakespeare could not adequately express the depth of the goodness of God and how full and deep and complete his picture of saving you means. That's God's agenda. You never have to wonder, what's God up to concerning me? You never have to wonder. Okay? So that thought about God, you know, if I go there, I'll really get off track. I was going to say, God is not the author of tragedy in our life. He isn't. Don't fall for this thought, well, God did this so that I could learn something. Don't fall for that nonsense. God can use the stuff that happens to you so you learn something. But that doesn't mean he wants it. Any more than, you know, if my little girl bouncing around falls and breaks her arm, I would never You know, if I was talking to her, listen, Sophia, you need to just settle down. Don't be so wild. And she bounces around, because she's, as I told you before, a rocket ready to go. So she bounces around and falls and breaks her arm. I could use that circumstance to say, now, do you see why you need to listen to me? But is that not very different than Sophia's bouncing around, I've told her to sit down, and I go and break her arm. That's what people think God is like. And it's wicked. It's wicked that people think God does stuff to them to teach them a lesson. God uses stuff to teach people lessons. But my goodness, that is not what God is like, to break someone's arm, to give them cancer so they can learn something. Again, I'm going to go way off track, okay? So, that's not what God is like. What's his agenda concerning you? To save you. So, how does that work? Matthew chapter 6. Now, you know, me saying, how does that work, and then saying Matthew chapter 6 might imply to you that the entire answer is contained in these next three verses we're about to read. I don't mean to imply that, but part of it is right here. Okay, this is a full thing. The story that, you know, God is so wise and so gracious. He uses generations of people to paint a picture, so that you can know what something is like. He doesn't just, you know, write down what we might do, write down a little manual and say, in case of emergency, do X, Y, Z. That's not what he's like, because the problem is not a technique, a method that you weren't aware of. The problem is things that you and I think deep within about God that are holding us back. So God gets at it by painting a picture through people's lives. That's what the scriptures are. That whole book paints this story. The only problem mankind has ever had, is to be apart from me. The only problem, in other words, all the problems that ever plague a human being flows from this, being apart from me. And so that's what salvation is all about, bringing, first he brought you back legally, you have the right to be involved with him again, the moment you believed in Jesus and you asked him to save you. But the working out of that is, you and I know that just because we got born again doesn't mean that there aren't places in my life, there aren't thoughts in my head that still have to do with, that's what I want to do. Even if I'm now Christianized enough to not ever say, I want that. We paint in a different way. There was a time, long time ago, I'm glad to say, though I'm sure I could still do this, so please don't imagine I've improved so much. There was a time somebody came and asked me in the church I was a part of before, hey, you know, we need help with this thing. Would you be willing to do that? Now, I didn't want to do it. I don't 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 want to do it. So what did I say? Do you think I said, I don't want to do it? I said, you know, I need to pray about that. First of all, do you think I did? And what do you think the answer would have been if I did? No! God doesn't want me to do that. Now, it's a small thing, right? But it exposes these places where my agenda is still not about what he wants. I know the right things to say. But we are not helped by everybody else in the world thinking, oh, what a submitted person. Okay? If everybody in this room thought Titus is the most submitted person in the entire world. There's nobody in the world who submits to God more than Titus, but God didn't think it. What difference does it make? Not a thing. Salvation is authentic. It's real. I don't have to. Salvation is not about everybody else thinking I'm saved. Salvation is about genuinely me benefiting from what God did. So that means he has to get at what I think. What I think. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. We're going to read all the way to 34 this time. Do not worry, then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink? What will we wear for our clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your Father, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What an interesting passage. So much that you could talk about. If you're wondering whether there'll be trouble tomorrow, God just told you. There will be. While you're down here, until he comes, there is a day coming. There is a day coming when the King of Kings returns, and finally, there will be peace on earth. And I don't just mean nobody's fighting with anybody. I mean fullness. He's coming. He's coming. There is a day coming when finally the Lion of Judah takes his throne and rules with an iron rod, and things are going to be fixed. It's coming. But until then, there's trouble. Okay? God doesn't deny it, but he gives a solution. Did you notice in this portion that we read, the first part is about worrying, the last part is about worrying. What's sandwiched in between? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, how does this great, wonderful salvation that God has work out? If you had to put it in a nutshell, it's this. Put his agenda first. Practically, theoretically, emotionally, what's the word that everybody else sees? In terms of what everybody else sees, make this your number one. What God's agenda in this matter is what matters. Why? Why does God want you to do what he wants you to do in a circumstance? Let's paint a picture. Somebody does something nasty to you. Somebody betrays you, okay? Let's not just, you know, people do nasty stuff. And, you know, they don't necessarily mean to, but then the moment you call them on it, then they get all in a huff and it turns into something. You know, there's, for example, road rage incidents and all that sort of stuff, which is a sign of the times, right? So you accidentally cut off somebody. You didn't mean to. It's not like you saw that guy and from the morning you were planning his downfall, so you decided to cut him off in traffic, right? And so you cut him off in traffic, the guy comes up, the guy storms out of his car and he comes to your window, knocks on it. Now, who are you to knock on my window? All of a sudden, something that was not meant to be anything more than, I just made an accident, becomes this issue. You know what I mean? At least, can you imagine it? Okay, so something like that happens, no big deal. Okay? When somebody betrays you, somebody you know, to be betrayed by someone, you got to know them. Right? The guy living in that house down there is not likely to cause me too much trouble betraying me. I don't know him. Jesus implied this. It takes a friend to betray somebody. Right? Judas was Jesus' friend. So somebody betrays you, okay? And you are mad. And usually, let's not say betrays you in the sense of, you know, they were right. You're the one who was wrong and they just did what was right. Let's say they really did something nasty to you. God's agenda says, forgive. Forgive. I don't want to forgive. No way I'm forgiving. And then on Sunday morning, I just stand up and say, isn't God so great? What is the problem here? Is God about to stand there and smite me down for making him look bad? No. Absolutely not. The problem is, salvation is blocked in that area of my life because I won't submit. And God wants to help me. God wants to help me. One person said, I don't know who said it, somebody said it, it's very good. Unforgiveness is like me drinking poison and expecting you to die. Unforgiveness. Who is most helped when you forgive? You might think it's the other person. Oh, okay. You know, oftentimes, if you genuinely forgive. Now, okay, let's say Dennis does something to me that was bad, okay? and I fight over and all that kind of stuff. God deals with me, and I finally come to the place where I say, well, Dennis, you hurt me so much, but I forgive you anyway in front of the entire church. Okay? Now, you guys knew nothing about what was going on between me and Dennis, but now you do. So I say I forgave, but I haven't actually got there yet, have I? Forgiveness is something that you could do with nobody else knowing except God. Right? But who is it that benefits? It wouldn't be Dennis in this case. It would be me. Can you see that when you are furious with this person for how they dealt with you, you have become held. Something has got you, and God wants you to be set free. Now, he doesn't just show up on the scene, smite everybody else down, do what you want. Hallelujah, we have victory. That's not what he does. Because the problem wasn't that somebody did something to you. The problem is that somebody could do something to you, and the devil could use it to take advantage of you and come in and hammer you. How does that get dealt with? God says, this is what I want you to do. Forgive. I don't want to forgive. Forgive. I don't want to. Forgive. Why should I? Because I forgave you of worse things. No, you didn't. Forgive. And that can be quite a battle, right? There are people who have let demons into their lives because they wouldn't forgive. And God didn't want any of it. You know, huge floods start with little cracks in dams. And the whole flood could have been avoided if that little crack was fixed. But God rides it through with us. So we make a huge flood of our life. God's still with us. Still with us. And the only way out is still the same. Submit. Submit. But I want this to be in our hearts. And if I want to also say something. If anybody in here thinks I'm talking just about you, I'm not. Okay? The funny thing about being a human being is God knows us pretty well. The shoe always fits. Doesn't matter how big your foot is, the shoe always fits. We're talking about us. Talking about us. How does God save? You need to submit to him. The specifics of that, of course, are different. I just happen to talk about forgiveness. I could be talking about money. You know, at the core of you prospering is that you give. God first and other people first. In other words, you put somebody else before you. This is not to say that, you know, you have $500, you have $450 of bills, and you give $600 somehow to somebody else. No, I don't mean to be stupid here. Because sometimes that stupidity comes from trying to prove to God, you ought to give to me. I'm so loyal to you that I'll give away everything. Well, that's what God wanted you to do. If God wanted me to give $25 and I gave $500, I'm wrong. I can't out-generosity God. God wanted me to give $25, but I gave $500. Who are you impressing? God said, the important thing here was not that that person needed money. The important thing here was, you listen to my voice. So please don't think this is about, you know, every penny you have goes to somebody else. I'm not talking about that. But this heart within that says, my money belongs to God. I will give it to whoever he says to give it to. So first he says, give it to the electric company and give it to the rent and give it to this. Now I got $50 left that I was going to use to spend on my favorite hobby. And God says, I want you to give that to so-and-so. Why? Why do I have to give that to so-and-so? Now, we have our thought that God doesn't want us to be involved with our hobby. God has a thought, so that I can give you more. One of the first things that we have to deal with when it comes to money, what is your philosophy about it? What place does money have in your life? Somebody else said it. I love the saying, so I'm going to quote it. Money makes an excellent master. An excellent servant, but a terrible master. God never wants you to be mastered by money. So he says, give. Give. Okay? That wasn't a full teaching about money, so please don't now start, oh yeah, I guess I have to give everything I have. You need to listen to the Lord, right? The point of this message is salvation works out by you saying yes to God. And where you don't say yes is a place where salvation doesn't work out. And where salvation doesn't work out, guess what does? Curse. Let me put it differently. Where the thief is allowed to have free rein because salvation isn't working out, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But what is given into the hand of the Lord through your submission, there is life, and abundant life flowing there. This is why God is not interested in people who just do what he says because he's bigger than them, and he'll make them do it anyway. He's after the heart saying, your agenda is more important than mine. You're in a horrible circumstance. Everything has gone wrong. And the scriptures say, give thanks in all things. I don't got anything to give thanks for, says the person who's full and blinded by what's going on. But then when they stop and they take, and we had an example of this today, when they stop and God gives them a bit of breathing room to stop, say, you know what, God actually has been good to me. I'll give thanks. What just happened there? What just happened there? The gate had been open for the thief to come in, and the person said, thank you, and the gate slammed shut. That's what happened there. The way of salvation is submission. Seek first his agenda, his kingdom, his righteousness. And then what's the promise? All these things will be added to you. I'll end by an example. Again, I use my little girl, who, as you know, I am absolutely crazy about. She can do lots wrong, but in one sense, she can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. This often happens. She has a toy, she loves it, and it breaks. Sometimes she broke it. Sometimes her brother breaks it. And so she'll come to me and says, Papa, can you fix this? So let's pretend that's me, okay? And this is my toy. Papa, can you fix this? I'm saying this to the father. Papa, can you fix this? And I say, sure. But then she won't give it to me. No, let me try this way. And so she does this because she really wants to be involved with what I'm doing. So I'm trying to get the glue put in place. She wants to get right in the middle of it and help. And, well, why don't you do it this way and all that kind of stuff? Or she takes off with it. I can do this. I can fix this. I have no problem in one sense with that. She doesn't stop being my daughter, whom I just am absolutely crazy about. But I can't fix the toy. As long as it's in her hands, I can't fix it, right? In a very similar way, as long as the things that are going on in our life are under my agenda, my authority, you know, again, as long as they're under my agenda, my authority, it's like God saying, son, I'm ready to fix this. Give it to me. Well, how do I give it to you? Submit to me. Do what I tell you in this. Oh, no, I can take care of this. I can fix this. I can fix this. And I start working away and I don't I've tried to fix stuff and it ends up being more broken than when it was started off. And then finally I come to the Lord and say, okay, I'm willing to do what you say. Then he can fix it. Then he can fix it. And it is also worth remembering, sometimes if we wait too long, things can't be fixed. There are consequences to our choices. But hallelujah, for most of the things that we're involved with, there's still time. But let's not waste more time ignoring the way of God. At the core of God's salvation is this. I will do things your way, Father. Your agenda is more important than mine. To many Christians, God is something in their life that they like, they benefit from, he helps them from time to time, but they are still the driver of their boat, in a sense. Or rather, they are still the navigator of their boat. If we're like that, the problem is we miss out. And so God says, submit. Seek first my agenda. Do what I tell you to do above all. And yes, there can be a conflict there, but that's okay. That can be worked out in the presence of the Lord. I don't want to forgive them. And there's this back and forth between you and God until the Holy Spirit prevails and says, you know, I forgave you far more than this. And you say, you are absolutely right. I completely release them. They don't have to do anything for me. I release them. It doesn't mean I become unwise or foolish, but I will not hold this against them in Jesus' name. And forgiveness, by the way, is not a feeling. So you don't have to wait till you feel like forgiving. It's just a choice. Right? It's a choice to release. It's a legal thing. It's a legal thing. So if we're going to see the salvation of God work out in our circumstances, here's the key. Submit to his agenda. It's how salvation works. Because the real problem is not circumstance, it's heart. That's what God is repairing. Every place you say yes to him, you've taken one more step to a closer union with the living God. And that is what saves us. Amen? Okay, let's give him thanks. And let's look forward to what he will do with us and all that is ours in this week.